live from the Sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, an inspiring today word that will help you battle through today's challenges. Listen and enjoy this exciting message and let the presence of the Lord work through you to reach the world for Jesus Christ. True love, pure worship, real answers.
You know, I'm reminded, I'm pausing because as he put on this CD, this is a CD I wrote years ago, actually, yeah, before I came up to Bethel, and it's called Father's Flow. And this part right here, is really creating the type of atmosphere that I believe God wants today. I didn't even know you would put that specific one on when I started out, but we did talk about putting in the CD, but just the fact that this song is the one up front. Because in this, can you turn it up slightly? Just, and then I'll have you pull it back down. And restart it, please. Start back at the beginning. So right here, when I was writing this, see, and it does it to me every time, I can forget you're here. But it was as if, remember in the Passion when Jesus was in the garden and he stepped on the snake's head? Well, right before, maybe you didn't see that, but I'm seeing something that is so peaceful, and we're in the garden, even though that there was a lot that Jesus had to do, in his spirit there was peace. And this is creating an atmosphere where anything that God wants to have happen can happen. It's where we go beyond our own will and we take on his will. And as I'm listening to that, it's like it's truly one of those things of, it's wide open. It's easy to get pregnant with this type of music going on. And I'm not talking about physically, okay? I'm talking about dreams being sparked, okay? So we're going to keep this thing rolling. There's other songs on this CD and we'll see how it goes, but this is really where we're going to be at today as I share. You can bring the volume back down a little bit where you had it, brother. Thank you. So I want to talk about being kingdom people in difficult times. Being kingdom people in difficult times. It's not always so easy. And I must admit, sometimes as I'm up front leading worship and I look out, I don't single you out individually, though God starts speaking to me about you individually. I can look across the room and I can tell the ones that are going through. I can tell the ones that are tired and said, you know what? Let's just go and get beyond this, because I'm pacing. I'm keeping pace right now. And we're not pushing anything. We're just keeping pace. And he speaks to me so much about what, and he does that with worship leaders, because it's our job to make sure we get you where you need to be. And so he'll tell us, this isn't getting it for them. Swing over and hit this. This, they need this. And we do it corporately, but sometimes it could be an individual right next to you that just calls to shift. And that's okay. God works that way. It's all right. But we want to be kingly or kingdom people in difficult times. And I say that because, and if I ask God, why do you want us to do this? He said, son, it's hard right now. People are going through some things and they're questioning what they're seeing. They're questioning the things that are taking place. Some are questioning even their faith and wanting to take things into their own hands. And he doesn't want that for you. So it is very possible that as I'm sharing what God has for us today, I might start speaking words over you. Okay? Just what I hear God tell me. Now, and just to go on and get at it real quick, I'm just going to say this for you three right here. And this is while we were worshiping, God started saying this to me. You will never lose the worshiping spirit that he put on you. Difficult times come, but you will never lose the worshiping spirit that he put on you. The devil's trying to tap it down, but it's still going to break loose. It will not stop. Mama's contagious, and what she put in you will continue. Okay? All right. Now, brother, I'm not sure what your situation is or anything, but I will tell you this. I saw you tripping. Not tripping on something, but tripping over your feet. You were going forward and you were tripping. And you're looking. But then there's going to be a time where you're going to be sprinting. And the people you're next to that you're looking at and saying, I want to do it like that, you're going to find out that you'll start to outrun. But God's going to have to put you in a place. You're going to feel like you're in his grip, and it's not going to be comfortable for a season. But he's going to show you some things, and you're going to say, I'm so thankful you snatched me from that and brought me here. I'm so thankful that you're going to come to the place where you come through the struggle, and it's going to be like, okay, I see why you grabbed me. I was about to get hurt. And you're going to find yourself running, and people are going to come and say, how'd you do that? And you will have an answer. But there's transformation that takes place in that. Amen? These next 3 months, and trust me, some people will start saying, oh, you're saying that because you know she's with a child. This has nothing to do with if you have a baby or when it's due. I have no idea when that is, but I am telling you, I'm just speaking as I'm hearing. In the next 3 months, I'm sorry, young man, what's your name right there? Josh? Okay, Josh, in the next 3 months, you are going to see your muscles, your spiritual muscles, increase in the next 3 months, okay? The next 3 months, everything you think is solid will start to shift under your feet. You'll question, wait, you know, when you're trying to step, let's imagine you're on ice and the ground is, or the ice is starting to crack, you know, like a pond, and it's starting to crack, and you know how you're trying to step where it's solid. You're going to be like that for a little while, but you're going to be listening more than you ever have. You're going to be listening more than you ever have. So trust God. Grab hold on to him and run with him. Okay? So let me get to what I really want to get to here. So we're talking about being kingdom people in difficult times. I want to illuminate, and when you're in the kingdom of God, you behave a certain way. God expects it. The world expects it. We got to get to where we expect to behave a certain way and to carry ourselves a certain way by being godly people, kingdom people. Amen? So we're going to illuminate some of those things that we must do. I'm going to give you 5 points. I'm going to give it to you kind of like as an agenda. Here's 5 points, but then I'll talk about each one and go back to them. So if you're writing notes, we're going to do this. In order for us to be successful and live well and advance the kingdom of God, be a part of the advancement of the kingdom of God. Now, I say it that way because God's kingdom will advance, but we want to be a part of it, each of us. Amen? In order for us to do that and to go where God has for us to do, there's 5 pieces that I brought out, and other people could label them differently. But you must look. That's number one. Look beyond self. Number two, pursue the kingdom of God. Now, see, sometimes we'll hear things and we'll say, well, of course, obvious. No, but we're going to talk about what does it look like to pursue the kingdom of God. Number three, act on behalf of the kingdom. Number four, sow, like sowing seed, So without contradiction between deed and speech. So number four, so without contradiction between deed and speech. And number five, forgive, forgive, forgive. Amen. All right. So we're going to break each of those things down. So can you turn? I'm sure you can. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, 55. I'm going to hit scripture, of course, that you're familiar with. It's hard not to, right? I mean, only so many scriptures. But what I want to do is highlight parts of it that we don't always listen to. Okay, so here, let me know when you're there. Just say amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, I'll start in 55. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. He's the one who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Say that with me. Be steadfast. Immovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So he showed me this scripture and I was like, God, that doesn't have anything to do with... It's funny, you're trying to tell God. But I said, I'm not seeing how that aligns with what you want me to talk about. Because I was really thinking, I'm trying to continue on what Pastor dealt with about ants. Automatic negative thoughts. And for us to be successful and to be truly kingdom people, we have to eliminate the tool of the enemy, which is ants. Our ants, I guess I should say. Okay, and so that's what I was focusing on. What are those things that we need to do to exterminate those negative thoughts? And how do we, you know, about moving forward? And what do we need to do to really develop ourselves as strong kingdom people who will execute the kingdom? Not just say I'm part of the kingdom. Our goal here is that we are people who execute the kingdom and feel it's our responsibility. Okay, and so then he brings me to this scripture. I'm like, okay, old death, where is your sting? I know this scripture. Oh, Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. So the law brings about, reveals sin, and sin, okay, brings about death, okay? And so I'm still like, okay, yeah, all right, cool. But then he really had me focus in on number 58. Therefore, it talked about Jesus, you know, that we were victorious through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so he said, now you see what I'm saying, son? Look at this next thing. Because we always talk about, we've got the victory. You know, he has given us the victory. And oh, we're wonderful. We're able to do, he's able to do exceedingly. And he starts saying, what are these things you're saying? What does it mean? Because the church, we say a lot of things, but really there's no traction right now. He wants there to be traction. And so he said, son, look at the next one, next verse, 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren. And so when you see that therefore, you're turning. It's to say, since this has happened, since we have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. He's not asking you to bank on something that has not been proven. He's not asking you to bank on something where he hasn't said, you've got the victory here, just fight. I'm already telling you, you win. Be steadfast. Oh, this darn thing. There we go. Immovable. Always, 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 always abounding in the work of the Lord. So when you say always, there's no cutoff. It's not you do the work at church and then now I'm when I leave and I go and work for somebody else, I don't really have to bound. Right? Hey, can you pull down the volume a little bit more on that? Thank you. I appreciate it. So, God wants us to get to the part where we take off our good clothes, where we take off the part of us that wants to remain neat, untouched, and get to the steadfast piece. He told me all of these things that he says here, steadfast, immovable, always abounding, the opposite side of it is not being steadfast. When he says immovable, I'm wondering, well, why are you saying immovable? What am I going up against? He's not telling you that because you won't have opposition. And so sometimes we fix ourselves as Christians and we get in a place and we say, okay, he sat me here. No wind, nothing pushing against us. But he's saying, look, listen, I need you to be immovable because there's something wanting to move you. I need you to be steadfast because there's times coming, it's not going to be easy to be steadfast. We're talking about being kingdom people in difficult times. Because the truth is, it's easy when you're together with everyone who believes the same way you do to say the same thing. But there's some of us, if we go to another church or we go out into the street and listen, there used to be a time if I heard somebody saying, and forgive my language, but this is just for in this service effect, okay? God knows he's not going to strike me down. But the moment I heard someone say, God damn, it was like something pierced my heart. And I kid you not, there was a time at Ohio University in the psychology department waiting for a class to start. The place was packed. I was a 20-year-old kid, and somebody said GD right there as they were talking. I said, don't say that. They said, what? What? I said, you just said that about my father. That's not, I don't appreciate that. I'd rather you talk about my mama than, no, but seriously, I didn't say that. But seriously, I went from that moment to starting to share. And in that hallway, there was a semicircle of people all around me just listening as I talked to them about God. Why he's a real thing. He's not something that you just, a name that you just, that name is precious that you just use. I used to do that more. Now I tolerate it more than I ever have. I'm just being honest. There's times that people will talk about their mate. One woman, and don't get me wrong here. I'm with people all the time and I'm respectful. But there's times that people will say, a lady will walk up to me, oh, hi, Brother Otis. She won't say Brother Otis. She'll say, hi, Otis. And I say, how are you doing? And she says, this is my wife. And I've got to, without showing any expression in my face, trying not to hurt her feelings. No, it's not. How you do? I go on and shake the hand. And, you know, now my kids will see that. That's okay. Does that mean I'm accepting of it? I'm not judging her. That's not my job to do. But at the same time, if they stop and say, now, what do you think about that? Can you believe, I have had somebody say this to me. Can you believe some of the churches out there, they are so old-fashioned that they don't accept this anymore? And I said, well, I must be honest. I don't believe it's what God has for us. The word tells us. You know, now they ask me. Right? But I'm one of those people that I still, if you wanted to come over and have dinner, okay. Come on, I'm not running. I'm going to be steadfast, immovable. That doesn't mean I don't have contact, because I need to have contact in order to bring truth. Amen. I'm talking about us being the church that has an effect. We are the kingdom of God. Wherever you go, the kingdom's domain is with you. Wherever you go. When you get somewhere, cussing should stop. If you carry yourself in a way. Now, I will tell you this. I told you I'm kind of testifying there, so this is not one of those sermons that's neatly packed A, B, C, and D, even though I have points. But I'm trying to get across some true things that take place. Seth and Jayden, when they want to have a friend come over or they want to hang out with friends, I always tell them there's things I need to know. I need to know mom and dad's first and last name. I need to know their phone numbers. I need to know where they live. I ask him or Jayden, your friend, do they know you're a Christian? If he says, well, I don't know. Oh, they're not that close. Because if you didn't share with them your belief that you're a Christian, I'm not saying you got to go and try to get them converted, but they should know, I go to church and I love the Lord. Because that tells me how they're going to conduct themselves. If you guys don't have an opportunity as friends to talk like that, something's wrong. Do they go to church? Now, I'm just telling you, that's just something that's going to be there. And so the point is that as I'm going forward and I'm raising kingdom children, I've got to do things that are intentional that will further the kingdom. Amen? The world is watching us. So here where he says, be steadfast, immovable, you are going to come up against things that the intention, not that it's casually might blow wind, that might blow you over. No, it's intentionally coming against you as Christians. The devil wants to alter your testimony and he wants to make you do things that are questionable. And if he can get you to do that, then he can go out and keep people unsaved by saying, see, they know different. They sleeping together, they in the church together too. See that? He ran off with the worship leader. See that? They pulled a blade on you just as fast. Now in Columbus, there's some places you get in a church and a church elders meeting, you might see a knife come out. I'm not exaggerating, am I? All right. Yeah. So here, again, I told myself I won't go real long, and I tried to make my little points short. So we've got to know, we've got to be very intentional. And so number one we talked about is we must look beyond self. How do we look beyond self? When I say look beyond self, I'm saying look beyond your current position, your current set of skills, your current location, and go beyond. You see all throughout the Bible, different places where God tried to tell people to do things, and the first thing they tried to do is size themselves up compared to what God wants them to do. Well, God, you want me to speak. Did you know I have a problem speaking? God, you want me to be over this nation. Do you know I come from the least tribe? Matter of fact, I'm the least in the tribe. You see, and so anytime God wants us to do something, we always try to refine or contain his calling on our lives. We try to contain it to where or make it fit into where we currently are. Now, think about this. Jacob, so here you've got Jacob finds, it's kind of funny to think about this. He finds the woman he just thinks is the finest thing out. She's gorgeous. She's beautiful. He sees her. He wants her. I worked 7 years for her. Okay? So here, he's going to go and work 7 years to get the thing that he thinks is most precious. He even said this. If you read that scripture, he says, the work seemed like a few weeks. The work seemed like a few weeks because of you, what I'm getting. And then when he finally satisfies it, and I don't know how this happened. You guys, I don't know. There are traditions, you know, maybe you go in, it's totally dark, but whatever. I don't know how you lie with someone, wake up the next morning, and realize it's not the woman you've been watching for 7 years. I don't understand it, but that's another story. That's not for today. But anyway, what I'm saying is that most precious thing he couldn't wait to get. He worked 7 years. We don't even have the patience to wait for God to move 2 weeks. But he waited 7 days. He waited 7 years, worked for Laban. And then sure enough, he was tricked. Didn't get the one he wanted. He didn't stop there. I'll tell you why I'm bringing this part up in a moment. I'm talking about looking beyond ourselves, going beyond our limitations, going beyond our current situation. No, he said, I knew what I had in my eye. I saw Rachel. I wanted Rachel. And daggone it, I'm going to get Rachel. I'll work another 7. 14 years. Then he stuck around and worked even longer. But think about it. As I was checking that out about Jacob, I was asking God, how did he keep focused on what he was supposed to do? He was looking beyond himself, and he was fixed on a target and a mission or a goal, and it allowed him to press on through difficult times. Working for a conniving person, not honest at all, and always took all the profits. But he was working because he was not going to lose hold of that thing that he said, I want that. Right? Now, so how does that relate to us now? When I say one of the things to be successful, a kingdom person being able to function in times where it's not so great. The only way you can pull that off is by going beyond your current situation and dreaming out of it. See, when you look out beyond your current situation, you'll see all kinds of stuff. You'll see all kinds of things that God wants to bring you into. You guys are newlyweds, and that's great. And so you see things right now based on what you have, but God wants you to look down the line and see the businesses that you're going to own. God wants you to look down the line and see the people that you're going to be able to affect. God wants you to think beyond, well, this is my ability now. No, if you start looking beyond where you are now, you'll start finding things to align with that vision and not your current situation. Give you another example. People who are not looking beyond themselves will get out of a harmful relationship where they're being beaten and go and find somebody else of the same manner. It just keeps repeating. And the problem's not with the individual you're selecting. The problem is with how you're filtering what you're looking for. And if we make selections based on where we are, based on all we know, based on what love looks like, I'll never forget, I worked at a group home, and this one child, the only love he knew was being beaten. And actually, yeah, Pastor, I said group home, but it was where I was working with Tammy and Pastor Rob. And I kept telling him, I said, this boy keeps coming and he wants me to spank him. He kept bringing me this belt. I've been bad. And he'd give me this belt. And I would say, I'm not spanking you. You know, you're not getting a spanking. But we didn't know that was love to him. Spank me. And so what we have to do, if we're going to grab hold of what God wants, and it's going to be a thing where we win, because guess what? If it's not what God wants, you're going to see failure over and over and over. And when you fail over and over and over, you get tired of trying. And you stop. You don't try to pursue anymore. You already hear the no before you ask. Right? But when we do it according to God's will, when we get beyond ourselves, we will start to align ourselves with people who do what we think we want to do. We'll align ourselves with those things that look like what God wants us to do. I'll give you an example. God tells me, I want you to work on a jazz album. You know you don't have much time. I want you to get that album done. And so then I have everybody, all these good things come to me and asking me, can you do this? Can you do that? And they all sound good. They might all be related to music, which I know I'm called to do. But guess what? God told me, I want you to do this specific thing over here. And if I don't start cutting off the things that are taken away from that time, I won't develop the promises that God wants to do with me. I'm not just going to make a jazz CD. I'm being obedient to God, and he knows what to do with it. He also wants me to do another praise CD. How can I actually do all those things if I keep strapping myself to things that look nothing like his mission for me? I won't do it. I won't be able to do it. I'll tell you another thing. If I keep watching things, you know, the Bible tells us that Lot vexed his righteous soul by watching, seeing what was going on right there. Sodom, he's seeing the nasty behavior, and after a while you get numb. And what I'm trying to say to us in here, we've all at times, not saying all of us are now, but all of us, I myself included, have found myself at times where I've gotten complacent and I've accepted things that, you know, God didn't tell you to do that. Why are you doing that? Oh, it's a good thing to do. Yeah, but it's taken away from what his true mission is. And then you look and you say, well, why aren't I prospering in this area? He says, I didn't tell you to do that. So listen, here's what I do. I put myself on the spot. It might be a skill set. You might say, I'm not good at speaking. And God says, I want you to speak. Some of you in here are going to be up here speaking, and you've been told this before. But you say, I'm not good at that. And when you say I'm not good at that, really what you're saying is I'm done. You don't say I'm a get good. You say I'm not good at that, as if that closes the case. No, God says I want you to do it. So what we need to do is start learning and putting ourselves in situations where we have to speak. You might do baby steps. I'm going to speak to you, and it might be starting with your family. I'm going to have a family meeting, and I'm going to speak to you for about 3 minutes on a topic that's very important. And that might be where you start. But the thing is, you're practicing, and you're trying to get beyond. Instead of just giving God these reasons why you can't do a certain thing. So you're going to have to look beyond yourself and develop yourself. Number two, you're going to have to pursue the kingdom of God. Now, see, we got to stop letting life happen to us. We got to stop letting life happen to us, okay? So understand, it's not just going to happen. If you pursue, his words here, that you have to pursue the kingdom, there's a chase going on. The kingdom's moving. The kingdom's advancing as it's supposed to, right? It's our job to pursue the kingdom of God, or else we get left behind. Amen? So check this out. I was talking about this. I was looking at this, and God said this to me about this, using the same scripture. He said, son, I want people to start operating or performing out of their strengths. Start performing out of your strength. The area of your strength, that's where you need to perform. That's where you need to execute. Now, there's times that the devil, as the accuser of the brethren, he comes and he wants you to operate out of your weakness. He wants you to perform out of your weakness. We see that all over. That the enemy comes and he wants you to, and this is how he does it. You have no singing voice whatsoever. You'd like to sing. It would be cool if you could. But you have an awesome writing ability and an administrative gift. The devil is going to distract you from that. He's going to say, look up there. Oh, see how they're singing. It's wonderful. If they heard you, you would be on the team. If they heard you, you would be up there. And before you know it, you'd be cutting an album. And when you sing, the dogs go running. Now, you know, come on now. But now the devil does do that. He will put things out there away from what you're supposed to be doing and get you to hunger after that thing. And you'll start looking at that and trying to pursue something that's not your strength. Sometimes pastors have been guilty in times past. I'm not saying here. But pastors have been guilty just because their congregation was limited and you just stick anybody up to do a certain thing and that's not really their area right now. And they get beat down because it's like people are saying, well, wait a minute, you're not what you're... It's like Jesus going to that fig tree and saying, you look like you should be producing fruit. There's no fruit. Okay? But that's the enemy's plan to get you off track so you're not delivering what God has for you to deliver. So if you're going to pursue the kingdom of God, you're going to have to get in and say, look, what is it that God has for me to do? And that means he needs your time. That means when you start finding, listen, you know the things you're good at. The things you're good at, they show up. They're already there. People say, you have such a knack. I don't know how you are able to speak to people in a way that they don't freak out. I mean, when I try to tell Johnny to sit down, he doesn't. But when you do, he just sits in that seat for you. And the way you're able to calm so-and-so when they're acting that, I don't know how you do that. And here it gives you joy to do it as well. Some of those things, it's just written for you. It's in your wiring because God made you a certain way. But the enemy's plan is to get you looking at someone else. And he wants to put images in your head that has nothing to do with who you are. And you will pursue that. And God is saying, stop that crazy mess. I want you to perform out of your area of strength. If it's not a strength for you, get to work on it. Get to work on it if it's not a strength for you. Now, here's the thing. The other part he told me is practice your weakness. Practice out of your weakness. Okay, so give you an example. House, you look at the house and the house is leaking. You got a leaking ceiling. And you realize, oh, something must be wrong with the roof. Somewhere water is getting in. You don't go to the part of the ceiling that's not messed up and start trying to shore it up, right? Because it's doing what it's supposed to. You go where the problem is. And that's what God wants us to do. Go where the problem is. Whatever it is you say you don't do well and you believe you're supposed to be doing, spend time there. But the problem is that in our world, I just told you, Jacob worked 14 years, walked away with two wives, and of course his family, but two wives. He, poor Leah. I mean, that's just tough. You know, daggone, I'll keep her, but I'm going to keep working so I can get this one I really want. But anyway, he worked all that time. It was not a quick thing. And what happens right now is the enemy wants us to be quick about everything. God, speak to me quick. God, tell me, is that the right one? What should I be doing? Is this the major I should have? Tell me now. A little while. And God develops us over time. The thing that we fight the most to get, time. The thing that the devil takes away because we get busy doing everything else, so we don't really take the time to develop. It's in that area that we've got to get stronger and give God all that he wants because he's got a kingdom that he wants to expand, and he wants us to be a part of it. So we must perform out of our strength. This is still a part of pursue the kingdom of God. We must perform out of our strength. If it's not your strength, don't perform in it. Practice it. Okay? You know, the world is watching us. And even though they say they don't really care about the church, the world's watching us. And they so much would like to have confidence that we're going to do what's right. It's like your parent or like your children. They're watching mommy and daddy. And even though they don't want you telling them what to do, they will appreciate it if you follow through. If you tell them, I said, if you do that one more time, you're going to be grounded. And you really ground them. They're going to be mad. They're going to almost want to cuss and sometimes cuss and get choked out. But no, I'm teasing. But over time, they will start to say, you know what? Dad said what he meant and he did it. Mom said what she meant and she did it. And that's how the world is. They're watching us. And so don't perform out of your weakness, because they're going to see you falling. They're going to see you failing, and you're representing a kingdom. You're representing God's kingdom. So we got to come strong. Amen? If it is not your strength, then you should be practicing. Okay? And also this piece of being prepared. Now, I'm going to tell you a quick story. I know I'm running out of time. But one night, I thought that I heard some noise at the house. And so I've got this shotgun I haven't used that much. I don't know if I told you guys this story. But I don't go out and shoot it as much as I should, which I'm about to, just so I know what I'm doing. But one night, I heard this noise at the house. Everybody was asleep. And I didn't know. I didn't want to take any chances. I said, maybe I should get that. So I went and got that shotgun out. And I'm putting the shells in it. And I pumped it once. And I was going to put in one more. And I'm like, look, I got it turned on. I'm trying to put one more in and it won't go. I'm like, what am I doing here? And so it ended up being nothing. But what God did tell me is, he said, what were you going to do? Who were you going to defend? You got a weapon that you only bring out every now and then. You didn't even know how to load it. And here you're talking about teaching Ivy how to shoot. Why don't you learn how to load your gun first? I mean, you know, seriously, why wait until somebody's breaking into the house to say, hey, hold up, don't take that TV for a minute. Let me get this shell in here. Come on. So I can't wait until the thing is happening. Don't be upset because you didn't get that job when you didn't do things to increase your resume. Don't be upset. So-and-so over there had certificates and had other certifications and had worked and went and learned how to use this type of software and went and learned this. And all you did was typed out your resume and said, I want a job. Who's getting it? Right? God wants us to be prepared. He doesn't want us to get there and fall on our faces. Amen? So if we're going to manifest the success that God wants us to manifest, we're going to have to look beyond ourselves and stop confining God's purposes and God's desires to what we currently can do. We're going to have to pursue the kingdom of God with all we have. And we say these type of things, but I really want us to think about, what does that look like? In your day, pursuing the kingdom of God looks different. Okay? Like even today, some of you don't know, you might have had a visitor with you, and based on the way you worship, they might think, oh, it's okay to do this, especially when we used to have the kids in here when we worship, because they might look at mommy and daddy and say, oh, okay, it's okay that I'm not that into it. That's all right, because you don't realize you're modeling things to your children or to other people. But we've got to be ready. We've got to be prepared. We got to go beyond where we currently are, and we must pursue the kingdom of God. Once we have pursued the kingdom of God, we start to understand, we've developed some things, we must act on behalf of the kingdom. Amen? And this is where you get into having to execute those automatic negative thoughts. So check this out. This is what God told me. He gave me a couple things as I was writing this down. He said, some of us are waiting on God to bring us into a place of blessing. But he is waiting for us to understand that what we are currently doing is bigger than what we are currently doing. So some of us are waiting for God to bring us into that thing. We're kind of in a holding pattern. And we're saying, God, you know, I'll give you this example. If you look look at Joseph's life, you check it out in Genesis, and Joseph was always dreaming. It didn't just all of a sudden he start dreaming. Joseph was always dreaming from when he was a boy to even when he was in jail. Joseph was the type of character that where he was, regardless of what he was doing and whoever he did it for, it was touched with excellence. He didn't wait and play it low and say, you know, this isn't really my gig. This isn't my appointment. It cracks me up. Sometimes people say, so you're the senior pastor? You got your own church? No, I'm a pastor. I said, there's several of us. And it's like, I'm not waiting around to have my own church. I'm not really pursuing that, you know? But it's kind of like, don't you have your own? This is my own. I'm not the senior pastor, but this is my own. I'm serving my pastor and my God with all I've got, and I'm not waiting until I have something that's my own so that I can say, now I'll turn on. Seriously. Some people think you're in a, oh, this is just a step. No. I don't care. When I was in a church, I wasn't even a worship leader. I was cleaning bathrooms. I was getting paid $50, I think, every other week. A college student cleaning the bathrooms. And I did it. If there was paper on the floor, I picked it up. And as a member of this church, I'll tell you, this is just how I am. If I see something trash, which I'm trying to get my kids to understand in our own home. If there's trash in the middle of the floor, don't say Jayden did that and just walk over it. Pick it up. This is our house. Amen? That's right. This is our house. So what I'm saying to you is this. We can't wait around and say what I'm doing now is not that significant. I'm just doing this until God really blesses me with what I'm really supposed to do. You'll never get to it. Because what you're doing now, what you're currently doing now, is bigger than what you're currently doing now. And so that you understand what I'm saying to you, is there was a time I thought I was just selling cars. But God said, no, you were not just selling cars. You were learning some things. You started learning some things about finances. You started learning how to share the word of God outside of a church on a test drive. You thought you were just talking, but you ministered to those people so much. And I'll tell you something yesterday that happened. And I've got pictures of this. I've gotten to the point where wherever I go, I don't care. Some people might say you shouldn't be doing secular music. But regardless of what I do, if you want to put the word God on it, or if you want to say, oh, that's worldly, I don't care. I am a kingdom child. And whatever I do, I'm going to represent the king. So yesterday, I'm doing this performance, and I'm just flowing like I always do. It's the same thing I do here. It's just different music. And so as I'm working, I'm looking out, and there's this lady. And I said to her, I said, listen. I said, I can tell on your face. I just told her some things. I can sense this about you, and I can tell you do. And here, sure enough, she was a singer. And she said, no, I don't want to sing a song. She was a teacher for 17 years in Parkersburg. I'm just sitting there talking to her a little bit. And I just shared like God teaches me to share. I mean, he just tells me to be real. And so we were almost done with the night. She was about to leave. And I said, I was with some other people. And I said, this lady over here, she probably has a beautiful voice. I never heard her sing. But her husband kept talking about how she can sing. And I'm willing to risk it, you know. And so finally, this young lady came up and sang with us. She said, oh, okay. I said, listen, everybody's left. It's just about 8 of us. I know I say everybody left, but really, this is a small crowd. And so she sang 2 songs for us. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful. She started crying, gave me a hug. She said, you are such a precious brother. She heard me at Kroger, and so they went to this other place last night. And as she was leaving, her husband came up to me and he said, man, thank you so much. He gave me a big hug. He said, you don't know what that means to her, because she used to have a beautiful voice. And as you can see, she still does, but she has some issues in her chest. And I did not find out until then, she had a stroke, had not sang for 4 months, didn't know if she ever would be able to again. But God told me, tell her to sing and put some confidence in her. Yeah, I mean, that's God. And what I'm telling you is the kingdom of God traveled beyond this church. Because where I went, I was a representative of the kingdom of God, and he shows up. I've had keyboards given to me. When I've been out playing for people who you wouldn't think it was church. Well, it's not church. It's a restaurant I was playing at. People gave me a $2,200 keyboard. Why? Because she said, you played a song that ministered to me so much. Ministered. That's the word she used. Or actually, she wrote me a note. Said, ministered to me so much. This was my husband's favorite song, and he had passed away. His favorite song. And so what I'm trying to share to you is God is the one who brings the advancement. He wants to move the kingdom forward, but he wants you to take the parameters off of where he's able to show up and understand when you travel from one place to the other, you are the kingdom. Only accept kingdom-like activity. Only accept kingdom-like activity. So what you start doing is God says, hey, I want you to, if God said to you, I want you to pick all the apples. And you look at a group of apples, and then you notice in the group of apples, there's an orange, there's a banana. Now, I know it sounds simple, but if I asked you to do that job, or a grade school level child, they're going to go and pick all the apples. That's what God wants us to do with our purpose in him. This is what I have for you, son. This is what I have for you. Does this stuff line up? What of this does not line up with what I've told you you're going to be doing? That omit, that's all he wants. Take that out. Start surrounding yourself with the things that look like what God told you you're going to be doing, and let him start speaking to you and shaping you and molding you. And before you know it, you're walking out the things God told you to do. And it's a strength. It's not a weakness. You won't have to give him a sorry excuse. You know, like Moses, or, I can't speak. No, you should have been practicing this. I told you, you were going to speak. The minute I start telling you, you might as well start sharpening. Amen? All right, so listen. Some of us, the things that we're doing, we don't realize why we're doing them. But if you do it with excellence, you'll always have the next level to go to. That's the bottom line. So you might think you're just studying with somebody. You might think you're just feeding your family. You're doing more than just feeding your family. You're doing more than that. I was just thinking of someone who takes care of their grandmother, and she passed away recently, but this person took care of her grandmother, always got her to church, and she didn't even know how good of a granddaughter she was being. She was just being a godly person and helping out. But she was modeling to everyone else who saw that. Take care of your elders. Respect your elders. God loves the elders, right? And so you don't know. People are watching you, and it's very important what you do. I want to show you one more thing here. Man, I got nowhere near this. I always say that. So in Matthew 16, and then I'm going to hit the number 4 and number 5, and I'll be done. These are pretty quick, actually. In Matthew 6, 31, it says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble, right? So again, talking about pursuing the kingdom, God will always bless you. I don't care what it is that he has for you to do. If he has for you to have a janitorial business, if he has for you to go to school to be a doctor, if he has for you to be a veterinarian, if he tells you you are an encourager and you're not a pastor, don't look and say, he gave me a lowly gift. He did not. Be the best encourager you can be, because as you work to the max of your level, there's other things, indirect things you're going to learn that will shape you for the next level. And then he might call you out and say, hey, now I want you to go and lead this group. There's just so much God has for us to do. And we cannot be worried about, how's this going to work? How's God going to take care of this? How's he going to do? If you just say, I'm going to do what you have for me right now, God will take care of you and you'll have plenty. In Psalms 100, it talks about the tree that's planted by the river's edge. A tree does not need to be by a river's edge to grow. But what God is saying is that if you will delight yourself in me and meditate on me day and night, that's an active thing you have to do. It's not passive. Okay? If you will be active and very determined and real about pursuing God, he won't give you enough to grow. He'll give you more than enough to grow. He said he'll put you by the river's edge and you will bring forth your fruit in your season and your leaf shall not wither. Amen? Amen? That's right. So he will put you there and you will, listen, your fruit, you will develop fruit wherever you are. So look on your tree. If you say you're not producing fruit, you're in the wrong soil. And understand, before you try to go and just leave Bethel, soil doesn't necessarily have to be a church. Man, let's fix that. Just so pastor don't know, I ran his folks off. But the soil could be a different area as far as the task that you're doing or whatever it is God has for you. But so we must be very serious about this and go after all that we have. There's people watching you. The whole world is waiting in great expectation for the revealing of the sons of God. Amen. We are the sons of God. And when we say sons, it's not just to men. It's men and women. We are the sons of God. The world is waiting for the revealing, actually in great expectation, for the revealing of the sons of God. And when they see us, we're going to have to be coming strong. We're going to have to come out of a place of strength. We're going to have to come out of that place where God says, yes, that is the gift I assigned to you. Work in that, opposed to coveting somebody else's gift. Amen? I told you, I'm just kind of sharing here. And I'm almost done, but I do want to tell you one other story. This is just a personal story, and then I'm done. And I've already shared some of these things before, but recently I was looking at a position, a job, and God had me go, in the process of looking at this one job, God had me go back and recount the things that he did in my life, and it shocked me. Because seriously, when Paul told Timothy to write down the things that had previously happened to him and to recount those things, it really does have a meaning there. Because I was able to go back and look at everything God had me do and the different areas I had been. Even from working in the group home I just mentioned to you, I worked at a place called Ascena Care was the group home. I worked at Echoing Meadows. I worked at Good Works. I'm now working at Children's Services. I've pastored for 27 plus years. And what God was showing me, and even in this letter I was writing to this certain employer, I was talking about a servant's heart and a desire to serve people. And there was things as I was watching that, God said, you didn't even realize I was shaping you. So I started looking at this resume, and point by point, everything they wanted, he had already had me track through all of those pieces. Everything. There was prophecies that I had received years and years ago that I have forgotten, and he's brought them back to me. And so I say that to tell you this, if I had been looking in that small space of time, I would not have identified what he was doing. I just worked in that space of time. I was diligent, and I said, I'm going to do the best I can here. Then he moved me. And then I'm going to do the best I can here. So we live out the slices. We live out the slices, but God is looking at the end, at the beginning, and he's looking at the end, and he's looking at the total sum, and if he told us it all at once, we would be blown away. So let's not look too far out. Yes, we want to look beyond ourselves and grab hold of what God has for us. But we don't want to get so caught up that we don't move forward because we're worried about what's the whole thing. Okay, so we're almost done. I just want to make sure I give you. Okay, and you can look at this. Number four, sow without contradiction between deed and speech. All I will do is tell you to do this. Zechariah, Elizabeth's husband, okay, when they were pregnant with John the Baptist, God shut his mouth so that he did not mess up what God was trying to do. And you can check that story out. It's not something I need to go into now. But what I do want to tell you is this. Once you know what God has for you to do, you've pursued the kingdom of God, you know what God wants you to do, and you're actively moving on that. It's not going to be only good enough to actively move on it if your speech is going back and contradicting, digging up the seed that you've sown. I've seen people get healed and then say, well, I'm not sure it really took, in front of other people because, well, I'm kind of embarrassed to admit that I even believe God still heals. Because that's not too intelligent. That's not too educated. And here you got degrees. And you still believe God heals. Now with the church, you'll say, oh yes, God can heal me. Oh, lay hands on it. Oh yeah. But now if your friend was here, who you're in academia with, or you think is they're really worldly. But and then, do you believe in healing? I believe God has other ways. I mean, we start candy coating things, and we can speak in a way that will dig up all that God's done, right? Zechariah had a chance to say, what's his name going to be? Is this thing really happening? But God shut his lips for a season, because if you can't really believe and get behind this, just shut up. Don't even speak on it. Your wife is on it. She believes it, so just shut up. Then when the boy was born, he finally had a chance to say it. And it wasn't until he wrote it that his mouth was released to speak. So regardless who you're standing in front of, I think you got to be strong and courageous. And when Joshua and when Moses, and you know, in Joshua 1 where it tells him to be very strong and courageous, I think that courageous piece is in facing your own people and saying what's real. Say what's real. Don't contradict yourself. If God told you, believe it. If you believe you're going to be president, for an example, I know that's an extreme, but sometimes you could get with it. This has happened to me. I've gotten with people and they say, so you really think you can handle that? It is a big position, or it's a big thing that I'm about to tackle. And, you know, we find it as false humility, really. It's kind of like, I don't know. If it's for me, I'll take it. You know, it's like, and no, you know you really want it. Go for it. And say, that thing's mine in the name of Jesus. You know, speak. So that's what I'm saying there. Your speech must align with what you're doing, or else you're a contradiction. And I said, the world is watching. Last thing, forgive, forgive, forgive. If you do all the previous four, but you do not forgive. And actually, not forgiving doesn't really, it means you really haven't truly sought out the kingdom, because kingdom is all about forgiveness. But if you think you've developed your skills, you've pursued God, you're thinking beyond yourself, and you have some unforgiveness, Unforgiveness gives the enemy legal right to come in and torment your butt. And he does. There's all kinds of things that can attach to you if you walk in unforgiveness. Unforgiveness anchors you to an offense and keeps you from moving forward. There's so many of us that we're not coming into our dreams. Our dreams are collecting dust, not being manifested, not being conquered, and it's all because we're still anchored to an offense back here, and so you can't go forward. Meanwhile, that person is thriving. They're not thinking about you. And so we must forgive. I can't tell you how many demons I've seen cast out after the person forgave. Amen? All right. Well, I hope you got something out of this word. Does anybody need prayer for anything? If you do, just raise your hand. Amen. Come on up.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.